I need to apologize to Brother Warren for having taken up so much of his time this morning, but I felt it necessary and wise to do so when I had as many here as possible to talk to about the problem. I know, too, that he is one who puts his thoughts pretty concisely. And you don't beat around the bush. And he'll tell you what the Word says. And when he's through, you'll have no doubt. But having said all that, he needs your prayers. Because when you stand here, oftentimes your courage can fail. I would ask that you do that, that you pray for him, and while you do so, that you also pray for yourselves, that we understand what he's saying to us, and that we can all leave here taking courage, having the determination to serve our Lord. Brother Warren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it's good to see this many people here. Thanks for coming. Got to find my notes here first. There they are. I knew I left some at home, but it was my memory. I want to read some things to you this morning, scriptures. And they're basic scriptures. They're basic things that we should have all learned years ago. I think I've been in the church for about 42 or 43 years now, maybe a little longer. But it's things that I read before I came to the church and things that I've read several times since I've been in the church. And I find it's still good reading. It's got a good message there, and it's something that we can all put in the bank and that we can use to develop our own lives by. I want to start in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, first chapter. And I'm going to start with the 94th verse. It says, "And now, my son, I speak unto you these things for your profit and learning. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both in the heavens and in the earth, and all things that in them is, both things to act and things to be acted upon, and to bring about his eternal purpose in the end of man, after he had created his first parents, and the beasts of the fields, and the fowls of the air, and then find all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition." Has any of you ever felt any opposition in anything you was doing in your life? There's always an opposition there, the good and the bad. So you need to be aware of both of them. "Even a forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other. And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that, angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven. Wherefore he, being a devil, having sought that which was evil before God, and because that he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind." So that spirit's always out there enticing people, trying to draw you away from God, trying to destroy your mind and your faith. And you have to be very cautious. And the best way to do that is to make sure you understand what's in the books. "Wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old spirit, or serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies, wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as God, knowing good from evil. And after that, Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And they have brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men are prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh." So we all had a purpose from the beginning. Wherefore, their state becomes a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandments that all men must repent. For he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgressions of their parents. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after that they had were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are, excuse me, and because that they are redeemed from the fall, that they become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day. According to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil. For he speaketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my son, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of the Holy Spirit. And now choose eternal and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate and to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. Excuse me. We all need to be taught to do the right thing, as well as teaching those that are with us the right thing they should do. That's what it just said there. That it might profit our souls. This should help us do the right thing in the sight of God, and we should, and this should give us the strength to do them in proper order, because it has to be done in a proper order. It says there must be an opposition. Well, we've all felt the opposition in our lifetime. We've all learned how to deal properly with the opposition we're faced with every day, and that's with having God on your side, having him there to go to when you need help, to get your directions. Not always easy, but it always has to be done. God gave us commandment that we must repent. We have the knowledge to act for ourselves. That's what it says in the book. It says we can choose either liberty and eternal life, or we can choose the evil. And we don't want to do that. That's captivity and death. It's our responsibility. But always remember, the Lord will be there to help us. And I say, praise the Lord. I'd like to go now to 2 Ephesians. Good book. And chapter 6. And I'm going to start with the 10th verse. We talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. And believe me, there are a lot of wiles out there you have to be careful of. Not only just the young people, but all of the old people need to be aware of too. Temptations that are out there are strong. the evil spirit that we have to deal with every day, whether you're at work, at school, or walking down the sidewalk and talking to somebody. They're always around. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And boy, do we have a lot of that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, stand, all to stand. Stand there, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that was Paul speaking. It says in the first verse, we've been admonished to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says we will most certainly need to have this strength. We will have to have this strength every day. I worked in some kind of difficult places to survive in my career when I used to work for a living. And one of them, the worst one I think I can mention, is Los Angeles, California. It's a tough place to live. So much hate, so much dissension, so much bitterness. You just have to deal with it every day. And people fight you for it. You just have to learn to deal with it. And the way I did that is right here. You have to go to the Lord for help. Thank God he's there. Excuse me. Because without his help, you're lost. Besides having an operation to run, they had an awful lot of people that were bitter. They were bitter about this country we live in, and they was bitter about the country that left and came to this country. And I'm not just talking about the people down in Mexico. I'm talking about all of the places that people come from, like Africa and Japan and Vietnam and Korea. It's not just one race. It's all different races that are out there. And you have to learn to deal with them all. And most of them don't believe in the scriptures. But they judge you by your actions and what you do. So you have to do what you know is right. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Be willing to wrestle against the principalities and evil spirits and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we can all see in the past years that there's an awful lot of wickedness in high places in this world. Not just with people, but with all things, which Satan may have already put into our paths, because he puts stumbling blocks in our lives all the time. We see these things as they become more obvious every day. It's all around us. If we don't think so, just read the paper or watch the news, and you can see it and hear about it every day. It says that I may open my mouth boldly. Well, sometimes I open my mouth too boldly, I think. But I say a lot of the things that that are true, and I don't try to force them down anybody's throat. If they want to accept them, it's there. But wouldn't it be great if we could always speak boldly with others about God and His Son and what they hold in store for us? Now, wouldn't that be great? But some people won't allow you to do that. He'll turn and walk away. It says, this way we might be better prepared to help others, that they may understand the written word, which we've been blessed with. I'd like to go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the 4th verse. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, this is telling about the end of the world, the end of the time in the world here. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake, just because we love God. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Many shall come, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, years ago, I can remember my father-in-law, Elder Maynard Case, was greeting a group of people that came into the church. And they walked in boldly and walked down the aisle that was downstairs in the old church and said that they were here to get the church in order. Said, they're Christ, and they're here to get the church in order. Well, let me see. Lost my place. Oh, here it is. Myself, I think they were rather confused people. They thought they knew Christ, know who Christ was, and where he's and when he's coming again to the earth. They knew exactly the day, and they could tell you that. Therefore, I think it would be to our best interest to be prepared to deal with this type of opposition when we're faced with it. How do we do this? Well, we can do this through studying the Word of God earnestly. Put it in your mind so you'll be able to converse with other people about it when they have a word or a phrase or a saying that's in the scriptures. Take them to it and explain it to them. And with her, let's see. It says, false prophets will deceive many. They'll do their best to lead away many of our well-grounded beliefs in Christ. Perhaps we should give more time, or live more like it's written in the scriptures that we have, and to use more caution in the new lifestyles that we're being surrounded by every day, the things that go on in our society. We need to stay away from that kind of stuff. I want to go to Romans now, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to start with verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members and in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one to another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And he that teacheth on teaching. And he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and not curse. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consider to men, but condescend to men of low esteem. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as liveth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. All familiar readings. It says a whole lot. And I don't think I could add anything to it. I'd like to go back in the Book of Mormon again to Alma, page 443. Let's see, 18th chapter, and I want to start with verse number 6. Now, my son, I would not that you should think that I know these things of myself, but it is the Spirit of God which is in me, which maketh these things known unto me. For if I had not been born of God, I should not have known these things. But there, behold, the Lord, in his great mercy, sent his angels to declare unto me that I must stop the work of destruction among this people. Yea, and I have seen an angel face to face, and he spake unto me, and his voice was as thunder, and it shook the whole earth. And it came to pass that I was 3 days and 3 nights in the most bitter pain and anguish of soul. And never until I did cry out unto the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy did I receive a remission of my sins. But behold, I did cry unto him, and I did find peace in my soul. And now, my son, I have told you this, that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn of me, that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved only in and through Christ. Behold, he is the life and the light of the world. Behold, he is the word of truth and righteousness. And now, as you have begun to teach the word, even so I would that you should continue to teach. And I would that you would be diligent and temperate in all things. Lost my place. See that you are not lifted up into pride. Yea, see that you do not boast in your own wisdom, not of your own much strength. Use boldness, but not overbearance. And also see that you bridle all of those passions that you may be filled with love. See that you refrain from idleness. Do not pray as the Zoramites do, for they have seen, for ye have seen that they pray to be heard of men, and to be praised for their much wisdom. Do not say, O God, I thank thee that I am better than our brethren, but rather say, O Lord, forgive me, forgive my unworthiness, and remember my brethren in mercy. Yea, acknowledge your unworthiness before God at all times. And may the Lord bless you, bless your soul, and receive you at the last day into his kingdom to sit down in peace. Now go, my son, and teach the word unto the people. Be sober, my son. Farewell. Now that's some good advice to all of us. Keep the commandments and prosper. If we fail to keep commandments, we'll be cast off from his presence. That's what it says. This should be a good motivational tool. For blessed is he that endureth to the end. And we all would like to be there. Verse number 11, kind of repeat that again here. And now, my son, I've told you that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn of me, that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only in and through Christ. And that's a message that we need to always remember too. I don't think I could add anything else to that, to the remainder of that. I want to go to Romans 8th chapter of Romans, verse 31. This just happens to be one of my favorite books. I like a whole lot of what it says. This 8th chapter of Romans. Got an awful lot of powerful stuff in there. But I want to start with the 31st verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now that little quote right there is just carries an awful lot of power with it. If God's for us, who could be against us? There's nothing powerful enough to harm you if God's with you. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up to us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from our love of Christ, or from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or perils, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, now listen to all of these things, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights or depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. There's nothing to that. And all the powers that's in Washington, D.C., or in any other capital city in the world can change anything the Lord has done. They think they write the laws and they make all of the rules. That's not so. They give us a guideline to go by here on earth, but God has given us a better guideline to go by. And it's got a lot of good advice in it. And I'd like to finish with the reading in the second chapter, 2 Nephi again, 13th chapter. On page 162. Starting with verse 20. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, the following example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. So we have a long ways to go. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause they have shown unto me, that they might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in a straight and narrow path which leads to the eternal life. Yea, he that entereth in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promises which he hath made. That it is that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is no other way given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which are one God without end. Amen. The doctrine of Christ. If we get on the straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. After we get onto the straight and narrow path, we should ask, is all done? No, it isn't. Not by any means. We've just begun. There are some that would attempt to convince you that this is all you have to do. There are some. I've talked to several of them in my lifetime that have tried to say, well, you don't have to worry about anything else. You just go in there and just believe, and that's all you have to do. Well, that's not what you have to do. You just heard it. We have to believe. We have to go down into the waters of baptism. And then we have to hold fast to the rod of iron until the end of time. Whatever, we don't know when that end of time is going to be. For some, it might be this afternoon. For some, it might be 100 years from now. But you have to believe. You have to hang on. And you have to do the right things. There'll be people that try to tempt you to do the wrong things. Temptation's always out there, and it's always tough to deal with. And then you have to have the endurance. We have the endurance that's required of us. We must endure to the end, it says. This is the only way. Then we'll have an opportunity to be saved, as is written in the Word of God. This is the way, and there is none other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, shouldn't this be our goal? These words were given to us long, long ago by the Lord. We certainly don't want to let him down after all he's done for us. Shouldn't we dedicate our lives to keeping his commandments? Let's search the scriptures and press forward, as it says in the book, that we may be able to receive those wonderful blessings God holds in store for us. Thank you very much.